every time you go to the slab, like, you know, there are always some guys who are like, yeah, the slab master. And it immediately gives like the stress, like, okay, fuck, now I have to do good, you know. You're just like full of this adrenaline and you don't know what to do with your body anymore. So you just, things happen like randomly. So, okay, that's maybe bad to say when you want to help somebody, but probably you're not going to break your foot. So,
welcome to another episode of the That's Not Rock Climbing podcast. I'm your host, Jenny, and I'm excited to introduce my guest for today, Hannes van Dyssen. You may have heard of him as the Slab Master, but Hannes is a climber on Team Belgium who just recently got silver in Boulder at Arco Rock Masters and also won a bronze in Innsbruck this past 2025 season. In this episode, we'll go over his 2025 season, get his tips on slab climbing, and learn about how he tries to stay in the right mindset during stressful competitions. I hope you enjoy this interview with Hannes. Please pardon this brief intermission, but I'm excited to talk about Madrock's newest and softest shoe yet, the Remora Pro. If you like being able to feel the chips you're standing on, and you like not having to worry about standing on sketchy volumes in competitions, then this is the soft shoe for you. They also have a crazy 3D heel that allows you to get more surface area when heel hooking, and inserts that lock your heel into the shoe no matter how hard you're pulling. Feel free to message me if you have any questions about the shoes or sizing, and you can use the discount code NOTREALCLIMBER for 10% off your entire Madrock order. Thank you to Madrock for helping to sponsor the podcast. Now back to the show.
Yeah, I'm back at home. I traveled quite some places. I went to a holiday also with my parents, and now I'm back at home in Brussels.
Back at home for a while, back into like regular winter training.
Yeah, I mean, I'm injured. Like I had the surgery on my elbow. So,
what?
Yeah.
Wait,
so
when was that?
So, like, yeah, I had some kind of problem with my elbow already for some time. And so now we decided to do a surgery. I mean, surgery is already planned for quite some months, but I just had to wait until the season was finished so I could just like end the season. And yeah, so now it's just rehab. Like, it's only 6 weeks of not climbing, hopefully. But yeah, then I have to go very slowly, so yeah, I hope it would all be okay for the next season.
Well, we'll see. Okay, well, it's good that it was planned at least.
Yeah, it was not like randomly surgery. No, it was, yeah.
What was the issue? Like, what caused the elbow issues to begin with?
So, if I understood it good, it was like a piece of a cartilage that kind of broke off, and I was just like being there in the and my elbow, and yeah, the problem was, first of all, it hurted for me, especially while warming up, and also it could like give like problems if it get worse and worse. The injury, it could like start blocking my elbow, like my movement, like I want to stretch it, and at one moment it blocks. Actually, I already had that like when I was young, because it's already the second time I had this surgery.
Just to
avoid that, I did the surgery.
Did that like affect your season at all, you think?
No, I don't think so. It's, for me, it was especially during warming up that I felt it. So once I mean, for some times, especially when I trained hard or I did like multiple days in a row or I felt tired, it hurt like even more. But for the rest, once I'm warmed up, actually it's quite fine. So yeah, it's only during the warming up, so it never really bothered me during the climbing competitions or something.
That's good. Well, hopefully you heal up okay and training isn't too difficult for you after.
No, it'll be fine for sure.
Okay, so then going back to, I guess, a bit of your more recent travels, how was Rockmasters? Congrats on getting silver in bouldering. That was cool to see.
Yeah, thank you. It was super cool. I mean, I was pretty stressed because the format, it's like both formats, only like also the lead, like both is only like one shot, like in a duel. And since I'm not really used to do like a duel in speed or like KO bouldering where you have only three tries for a boulder, it's like a bit stressful. But in the end, like when I look back on the comp, like I think there was like no reason to be stressed. And during the comp, I actually had like so much fun. So no, it was like so cool to do like again. Also being an Arco, it's so amazing. I was also there with Heloise, like one of our team. And yeah, with her, it was also super fun to be there. So yeah, it was a really nice experience.
Yeah, have you not done the format before?
No, I did. Yeah, I did. Just like I'm pretty competitive person, so I always want to do good. So like whatever competition I do, I always get like kind of stressed. So except like for World Cups, I kind of learn how to control the stress. But yeah, on like comms that I take it a bit easier when I'm not going like all in like for a win or like preparing myself like 100%, you know, mentally to perform. Like if I don't do that, like I don't really get the stress under control and I feel a bit more stressed. So for this kind of comms, I felt a bit stressed.
Weird. So you're saying that you feel less stressed for World Cups than yeah. these like other...
Huh. Yeah, you know, like, no, it makes a bit of... Yeah, maybe it doesn't make sense, but for me, it's like you kind of have like your routine, how you like prepare right. for the comp, like on the day itself, like also the preparation like for the comp. Like I know exactly what to do and I make sure I do exactly everything in the right order that I want. And I make sure there are no mistakes allowed, like in my mental preparation. So for me, everything is quite calm at that moment because I know the plan in my head, what's going to happen. And when I don't do that, like, for example, at the Rock Masters, like, I just let everything a bit more be like this, you know, like, if I'm not going to, like, do my breathing exercises or, you know, make sure, like, to check everything to be ready for it. So it's all more chill. So that means that I'm less in this, like, competition, like, mode. And then it makes me a bit more stressed for the competition itself because I don't try to keep it under control.
Huh. Okay. That's good to know. I mean, we'll get into mindset a bit later too. So yeah, I think that'll be good. I'm glad that you have a whole routine worked out. That's really good to hear. I guess just in terms of competition format, how did you like the format compared to World Cup format?
I prefer the World Cup format because I prefer to be limited in time than being limited in tries. Because limited in tries, for me, it adds more pressure because...
Yeah.
If you do it in time, I mean, in 1 minute, you can easily put like, especially for coordination, you can put 5 tries or something. So if you're limited in tries, then like every try, it feels like it counts more. So I think I still prefer the World Cup format. But still, like, I quite enjoyed it to do it like once because it's different. So we don't always have to do the same. And it also pushes you a bit more to do maybe harder boulders since you can try them in advance. In Arco, we had like 50 minutes. I think it was 50 minutes to try the boulders in advance.
Wow, really? I had no idea about that.
Yeah, yeah.
Huh.
That was in the morning. So it's like kind of a workout, which 50 minutes is not a lot, actually. It's less than 15 minutes a boulder. So... it feels like it goes really fast these 50 minutes, especially when the balls are hard. Like for me, it's like, it was like 50 minutes almost of nonstop climbing. It was like pretty hard, but it's pretty fun to do because you kind of get like a bit the same as on World Cups. Like you're like a bit in time pressure, but it's different because you know, you have a bit more, it's not like it's less strategy, it's more like trying and trying and trying, and also you can watch each other, so it's like a session together. So yeah, it's pretty fun to do.
Huh. Okay. I didn't know that people got to try the boulders beforehand. So yeah, does anyone like send the boulder beforehand and then like redo it after?
Yeah, I think most of the people, I mean, I could do all the boulders during the, I mean, no, I didn't
really
do all the boulders. No, but usually it depends from boulder to boulder. Some you stand, some you're like, okay, I did this move, so I'm just gonna leave it like this and I'm gonna try the other one, because 50 minutes, like, it goes so fast, like you really yeah. don't have time to try too much. But yeah, there are quite some people who do boulders, but also they change sometimes the boulders afterwards. For example, like the slab, nobody actually did the moves, So they changed the boulder, made it a bit easier, so we will be able to get through it. Or like the first boulder, we kind of did it on a different way, I think. And also that they changed, like it depends from situation. Like sometimes they change it because they want you to force it to do it the way, or sometimes they make it easier, sometimes a bit harder. So it depends.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I had no idea.
Yeah, it's also a bit stressful, you know, because you try the boulder for 50 minutes. You're like, okay, this boulder I can do. And then they put it a bit further, or they add a hold, or they put away a hold, and you're like, ah, oh, fuck, now I have to do like something else or something, or it's a bit different. So it's also kind of stressful.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. And I guess it also makes more sense now because, yeah, people were doing like coordination moves a lot faster than I expected. Like,
yeah,
there were
yeah,
a lot
exactly.
more flashes. And I was like, wow, I can't believe everyone flashed that. That's crazy.
No, yeah, exactly. Yeah, we okay. tried before. So.
Okay, good to know. Maybe if I had listened to like an intro, I would have known that. But no, that was good to learn right now. Okay, cool. So then getting into your background, how did you start climbing and competing in general?
Yeah, so I'm not from a climbing family. I got a bit into climbing with a bit of luck. Like my parents, like I, before my seventh birthday, I did like a lot of other sports, like classic, like football, and soccer. Since you're from America.
Yeah. Oh, thanks. Thank you. Yeah.
So I did soccer. I was like swimming. I was doing some other things, tennis, I think too. And then for my seventh birthday, maybe most important one was gymnastics, because I did this until my seventh, and I actually got kicked out when I was seven because, yeah, it's pretty young to kick somebody out from a gymnastic team, but apparently it was quite professional already or something. I don't know. I never really took time to understand it all. But my shoulder mobility, like, was not good enough, so they said, I think it was the reason that maybe I could get injured too fast if I will do gymnastics. So, I mean, on high level then, I guess. So, yeah, they said, yeah, you don't have to come back anymore. So,
wow.
Yeah, then okay. I had to search for another sport. I started climbing at the age of seven, because then my parents, they took me to the climbing gym, like, for my birthday. That's how I started. Like, I started in like a really old school, like, still until today it's the most old school gym I've ever seen. I mean,
wow,
now
okay.
Now it's already gone, like they broke it off, they built a whole new gym, but it was like this copy rock, like really the poles, and it was really cool, and you always had to climb out. It was like a bit like Fontainebleau, like the structures was really cool actually.
And then after that, when did you get into competitions?
This gym, it stopped already after the first 2 years I climbed. So, I mean, it stopped. It built a new gym, which there was also leads. So then I kind of got more into lead climbing. And that's how I just started it. Like, I was just in this team where we're just climbing for fun. And then they were like, yep. There was like a competition like there, like you want to go. It was like lead climbing. I mean, top rope at that moment because I was too young to do lead. I went there and yeah, I won. And then we,
okay.
my parents, they looked on the internet like what kind of comp it was. And it appeared to be like a Belgium Cup. And then they were, I mean, I think, no, it was not my parents. I think it was my granddad. Like my granddad is really into like my career, so it's quite funny. Like he looked it up and he was like, okay, there is still like another one there and there and there. And yeah, that year I just went all over Belgium. It's not that big, but yeah, I just went all the Belgium Cups, and I think I almost won them all. So yeah, that's how we got into the competitions. And then you just learn automatically, like, okay, there was also a Belgium team. So in like, I think back then it was in like 4 years, I can select for that. And then I can go to the international comps. And yeah, that's how I started it all.
Wow. It seems like it almost kind of came naturally to you. I feel like a lot of people, I hear like their first competition ever, they get like last place or something.
I mean, Belgium, it's also for sure back then it was even less, like, climbing is not the biggest sport in our country. So yeah, it was not a lot of people did it, but yeah, still was pretty cool to start. I mean, pretty cool. Like, yeah, I started winning right from the beginning, but yeah, then eventually you learn that, yeah, the Belgian Cups are not like the biggest thing there is, because then once you go to the first like European competition, like you immediately get like shut down, and I also ended up like last place somewhere. So
yeah, everyone starts from somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess along those lines, how was transitioning out of like youth competitions into real World Cups?
Yeah, my first adults comps, it was I think in 2021. Like I did the, I think I started in the European Cups, and like the week after I did my first World Cup in Meiringen, which didn't go very good. I think I ended up almost lost. I think like I was, I spent 6 hours in isolation because I was the very last. And I think it was one of the World Cups that I think until now, like one of the most participants that there ever been, like, I think like 120 or something in total. And I was the last one to climb. So yeah, I spent so much time in isolation just to do like two zones and that's it. Like for the rest, like falling off first moves every time. And yeah, I got like 81st place or something.
Actually, I have it pulled up. You got 79th. So if that's out of 120, that's not okay. Bad.
No, okay, yeah. I think it was much, much worse. But yeah, so that was my first World Cup. Like I got shut down like quite bad. And I remember also the coach, he also said like, yeah, I don't think you're ready yet for the World Cup level, but that's okay. Like, and yeah, I was like, okay, yeah, I understand. It's true. Like if I see my results, also that year I started doing Lead 2 and it was kind of the same story. Like it never really went good in the beginning. And so yeah, but in the end I just kept trying and it worked out. So
yeah, it's good to see the growth at least.
Yeah.
Let's go into, I guess, like the World Cup season that you had this year.
Huge news, Wayfair shoppers. There's still time to shop Wayfair's Cyber Week sale. Thought the savings were over? Think again. Cyber Week, aka the holiday home stretch, is on now. Right now, get up to 70% off everything home and everything you need for the season ahead. Save on quality furniture for every room in the house. Essentials for the guest room, whether it's new bedding or a new mattress. Kitchen and dining must-haves for all your hosting needs. And seasonal home finds like throw pillows and decor. Or favorites that you'll use all year long. Plus, you can sit back and relax. With Wayfair's fast and easy shipping, everything home comes straight to your home. Just in time for the holidays. Yep, even the big stuff. Didn't get everything on your Black Friday list? We got you. There's no place like home for the holidays and no place like Wayfair for Cyber Week savings. Shop Wayfair's Cyber Week right now through December 7th and save up to 70% off at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home. I think, yeah, I mean, congrats on a great 2025 season. I think your results this year were better than any other year before, correct?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, for sure.
Awesome. Yeah. So what do you think changed in your training that helped you perform better this year?
What changed in my training? I don't know. It's hard to say what really changed in my training. I sticked with the same coach. Like, I know it's the same team. I also didn't do a lot of seasons yet because with the Olympic year, like I didn't do...
Right, yeah.
I only did one or two World Cups last year. And then the year before was kind of my first year. I was like competing for finals. But yeah, I think it's kind of natural to like when you grow up to see your mistakes, and it's a bit easier to adapt because you have like more knowledge and you start to see what are your weaknesses. Like for me, I feel like it's still like coordination and also a bit of like the strategy in the 5 minutes. So I kind of also now I'm already thinking to how can I improve in coordinations, like what are really my mistakes in coordinations and what are also my mistakes for inside 5 minutes. So I kind of feel like right now I've got like a good level in like most of the styles in the World Cup, but it's more like now like putting it into the 5 minutes. So I think like it's very important to for the first years to like focus on like having the level to do the boulders. And then once I think you have the level, I think it's more important to start focusing in on how to do the ball, how to top the boulders in 5 minutes. Cause I feel like it's something else to train. If you like, I hope you're getting it. What I try to say, cause it's more like strategy wise, you kind of have to know what decisions to make.
So you kind of feel like now you have your like strength base down and it's more focusing on the techniques or strategies.
It's a bit like this. Yeah, like now that I have the level to do them, now I kind of have to focus more on knowing how to handle like situations in the 5 minutes, especially for coordinations or decision makings on slabs. Like it's a very hard game. I feel like these like topping boulders almost on your limits in 5 minutes, and I think you don't necessarily need the highest level of topping boulders. You just need a very high level of like being able to do them in 5 minutes. It's kind of something else. It's hard to explain.
Yeah. I mean, thinking back on the season, do you remember, or like, did any boulders stand out to you? Either ones where you maybe surprised yourself on how you performed or ones that you just really enjoyed?
Yeah, I definitely have boulders where I surprised myself. I mean, I this year I feel like physically I got a lot stronger. Like I started topping more like the hard physical boulders or not topping, but like getting like good tries on them. So I'm very happy with that. And it's very nice to see that, that I'm getting physically stronger, because I think it's my favorite style. I think a lot of people like just the physical boulder. So it's very nice to see that I'm also getting like one of the stronger competitors, like physically. I think for sure the boulder that like surprised me the most was probably like there was like this coordination semifinal in Bern, like the first boulder, which started off with like it was full coordination, and in my head I was like, okay, I'm not the best in coordination, so coordination is always going, always being a bit hard. I think the first move was kind of the easier move, and then the last coordination was kind of the harder coordination. And I struggled a bit on the first move, but once I passed it, like I flashed the last coordination, and it also made me go into finals. And like you can really see it on my face. Like I was so surprised to flash the boulder, because it felt like I had to flash this second coordination, because like it felt like also natural. And yeah, it's like kind of satisfying to just like try it, like just go with the flow and then stick it from the first time. It's pretty cool feeling. So I hope I will have it again next season. Yeah. A lot.
Yeah. I'm surprised you went into it already thinking that you aren't good at coordination, and then you still managed to make it work.
Yeah. It's kind of also a mindset I have to change and have to get under control, because yeah, sometimes it's a bit of a problem to like put myself like one of the worst in coordination. So yeah, it's kind of something I have to work on, definitely.
I heard in another interview you mentioned that you feel like climbing is going a little bit back to an old school style. So do you feel like that would fit you better? Like, would you look forward more to that?
Yeah, I will look forward like a lot to it, because I really like this kind of old school style, where I just have to go for a hold the hold, and that's it. Like just going for bad holds, and not just doing like, oh, not just going for big holds, but like also like just like small holds, like small crimps or whatever. Like I don't feel like we have those a lot anymore. I mean, it's coming back slowly. Sometimes you see some more crimps, especially like feeling at Salt Lake, almost the whole qualification boulder, I don't have the feeling there was a coordination. Also in semifinal, there were also like almost no coordinations. So, I mean, it's nice to have like those rounds, because right now for me, there is like quite a lot of coordination, but it could be, yeah, a bit less. Like, I've done already some rounds where I'm like, okay, like, here I have the feeling I almost have no chance to pass or to have, like, a good result, because it's just, like, all pushed in this one style. Like, for example, in Prague, in the final, like, all four boulders were almost all, like, this modern style, either coordinations, just modern boulders.
I'll have to look back at that one.
Maybe because I do the competitions, very good in my mind, but yeah. The competition started with this kind of slab, but it ended in like a slightly overhang with the coordination as well, because the slab part was like really easy, and the second boulder was like full coordination boulder, the third boulder it was like starting to like push thing, and then jump to a jerk, and then in the end like a bit physical, so the end was nice. And then this last boulder also started with the coordination, and then also like a pushable boulder again. So yeah, it's all like either pushing, either you do coordination. So I really had the feeling like, because I was pretty happy with my round, because it was like, okay, I climbed good, just in this style, like there's no way I can beat like Mejdi or Sorato.
Oh, sure.
Or like, you know, it's almost impossible, or I need like the best day of my life. Like,
Yeah, I feel like this year, I guess like every year it kind of seems like maybe there's a move or a theme that they follow a bit. And I felt like this year there was a lot of like monos and pockets.
Monos and pockets.
Did it feel like that for you?
I don't know. Did I take mono? I mean, in Leap, I took one mono this year.
Maybe it's just because, yeah, when I'm watching, I always feel surprised when I see like a mono. It just grosses me out. So I think it stands out in my mind. Whereas to you, the finals boulders all being coordination stands out to you.
Yeah, but it's true that often like there is like an idea of the feeling going around, and then they try to create, even like on Instagram, I feel like Instagram is like influencing like often a lot competitions, like you see like one move on Instagram and then you see it somewhere else and it almost always ends up on the competition. So I have a feeling Instagram is like doing quite a lot of...
What did you see on Instagram that showed up in a World Cup?
What did I see? For example, we had like this one push, and then you had to like take a hold and then go again, like still with the push. And then it's hard to always to explain. It kind of goes like you push, you take a hold, and then you go again to a hold. Like for me, it like started like on Instagram. I think it was probably Mejdi who did it, and then yeah, it ended up on the World Cups. Also, like the 360 move, like the 360 spin on a slab, or 180. It's one more like a 180 spin. It also like kind of started on Instagram. And then it ended up, I think it was in Innsbruck in 2023 in the final. Yeah, because I think that's my point of view. Like, if you don't show, or if the athletes don't know about it, there's like a risk that nobody will actually try the right method, and like the boulder will be untucked. Or like, I think a good example was like in Hadjoji when... there was like this, like the first time we had to like jump and like into a press. Like, I mean, nobody did the move and nobody really knew what to do. And then once you explain it, like Mejdi, he did the move because they went to the root setters and I asked what was the method. And Mejdi, he did it after the comb and he put the video online. And then in the end, yeah, they did it on the World Championship again, and the boulder was stumped because they knew what to do. So it's kind of like a feeling with complicated moves. You have to like show them what to do before they, or like you need somebody who actually like figures it out. But yeah, there's always a risk that doesn't work.
So you need to spend more time on Instagram to know what to expect for next
year. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, you really have to follow Instagram very good to know what kind of boulder is going to get next year.
Okay, keep scrolling then. So I think I've also heard a lot of athletes mention that it's hard to keep up in like good shape throughout a long competition season. It seems like 2025 was pretty long. But I just feel like if everyone is going through that same struggle where, you know, it's like starts out stronger and then it's a long season, then there shouldn't really be like an issue, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I agree.
Oh, okay.
I feel like if everybody does the same, is the same for everybody. So
do you feel like it's hard for you to stay in good shape throughout the season or like last season?
Yeah, it was not super easy, especially when you do like multiple weeks in a row, because the climbing competition takes quite some energy. And of course, yeah, when you do competition, you're not really training. So if you do like 2 or 3 comps in a row, it's more like always like 3 weeks of trying to recover from the comp and not really training. But yeah, like you said, if everybody does the same, then everybody will be like, everybody's shape will go down a bit. But yeah, I'm a big fan of comps. So yeah, I would love to have more comps anyway. Like I really like comps, so the more the better for me. That's also like I'm still combining both disciplines. So
yeah.
a part of the reason is because I just like competition, and if I do lead, I can do like more competitions. So maybe the only thing that I maybe would be a bit better is that they don't extend the season like too much. Like I think this year was okay. Like the World Championship came quite late, especially for boulders. When you finish in Innsbruck, there's like 3 months, I think, or maybe four. I think three months in between the last comp and then the World Championship. So maybe that they could just try to avoid. I also see now that like just the calendar came out for 2026.
Yeah.
And I've seen that that they put like Salt Lake City like beginning of October, and I guess the last World Cup is in Innsbruck again. So I mean, I didn't check it 100%, but I guess there will again be like a gap of like 2 or 3 months, which for me it's like it kind of sucks, because a lot of people just want to also go rock climbing, and if you do that, it's kind of like, I mean, rock climbing, it's a good thing to do, but it's not the best preparation either for competitions. Because for me, I really want to do rock climbing, I'm just a bit scared if I do too much for the comp, you will like, especially for me, when you're not feeling the most confident in coordinations, you kind of want to drink coordinations, and yeah, rock climbing is not all coordination. So yeah, it will be a bit nicer if they just like, okay, the season stops here, and not like a gap of 3 months where you're just like, okay, now I have to stay inside, or I can go like, or I can't fully commit on a outdoor project, because if I do that, yeah, for sure you will lose a bit of form, you know. And that's the only thing that will be nice, right?
Yeah, like especially going from lead back into like a boulder mindset again.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, it looks like you are more of a boulderer, but also improving in your lead climbing as well. Do you feel like you're going to be more focused on lead climbing training, or is that still more like secondary for you?
No, I mean, I've always been like very good in lead until the point I got like good in bouldering, which is kind of funny. I mean, I have like, I mean, when I was talking earlier about my injury on my elbow, when I said I already had it before, like I had to stop climbing for 1 year because I had like a big injury on my elbow, which is like back in 2019, I think. So quite some time ago, like when I was still in the youth, I think was my second year in the youth. So luckily it was not like in an important year where like it was important to like push on trainings. But like everything before that, I was always like into lead climbing. Like my boulder results were very bad. Like I was not really winning. I mean, the Belgium Cups sometimes, and the youth cups and the European level, like I was really nowhere. Like I was getting like lost or something, or like in the middle. I don't know. Was not super good. And then I came out of this injury, and yeah, I don't know. I think like I grew a bit, because when I was young, I was also very, very small, like really one of the smallest I was in the category. And I think it was also kind of linked with that. But since I was small, I was also like very, very light, and I had like a lot of endurance. So I think it's also a bit linked with each other, like being very small. And but yeah, when I came back out of injury, like my bouldering level, it increased like quite a lot. So yeah, since then, yeah, the bouldering went better and better, and actually the lead climbing went a bit worse until like last year when I started training for lead like a lot, trying to select for the Olympics. And yeah, since then I started doing lead also better and better, and until now I'm still like improving, and yeah, I really like it, so I would like to keep combining it actually.
Do you have a preference? I mean, especially since you don't really prefer doing crazy coordinations in boulder, it seems like lead has slightly less of that.
No, yeah, I still prefer bouldering actually, because it's not that I dislike coordinations, is for sure it's not the most fun to train, but yeah, it's still okay. But no, I think I still prefer bouldering because for me there was still more variation into it. Also, the competitions are a bit longer, which I kind of prefer because there is a bit more the mental aspect. Also, the strategy within bouldering I like. But when you look like outdoor, I prefer to go lead climbing outdoor because yeah, it's a different game and it's more climbing, and yeah, I prefer to do like rock climbing lead outdoor, but on competitions I prefer bouldering. That's also kind of a reason I keep wanting to combining both, because I'm scared when I will say to myself, okay, from now I quit bouldering and I go I quit lead and I go all in bouldering, like I will probably use my formal lead climbing and I will not be able to stand the lead projects.
Huge news, Wayfair shoppers! There's still time to shop Wayfair Cyber Week sale. Right now, you can score up to 70% off everything home. Save on kitchen and dining, bedroom furniture and mattresses, seasonal decor, and way more. Plus, with Wayfair's fast and easy shipping, everything home comes right to your home, just in time for the holidays. So don't wait. Save up to 70% off during Wayfair's Cyber Week sale. Now through December 7th at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
That I want to send, so yeah.
So then moving on to what your training looks like, what does your training schedule look like usually? If you're interested in ad-free episodes and would like to unlock over 4 hours of deleted scenes, including one where Hannes talks about his mindset comeback during the Brazil World Cup, do consider helping support this podcast on Patreon. Some other perks include a membership pin shipped to you after 2 months, prioritized guest questions, or the ability to submit video questions, and more to come. The proceeds go back into the podcast to help me break even, and they help me improve the experience of the guests. If you'd like to help out non-monetarily, liking, commenting, and sharing helps a great deal as well. Back to the show.
So I'm more like the guy would do like quite some double sessions. So I'm more into like double sessions instead of doing like multiple days in a row. I do multiple days in a row. But yeah, almost every day I do is like a double session, except for this year I kind of had to slow it down because of the elbow, because it was hurting too much, especially the second session. No, most of the time it's like 2 days on and then 1 day like off. Then like on the day off, I either like sometimes I do the slab sessions or I do like cardio when I go running. I also have like a running program because my coach and also me believes that it can help like doing interval training for bouldering.
In what way does it running help?
I mean, I never really off, but when you look at bouldering comps, it's like you go like 5 minutes on the mat when you do like, you put like tries, and you know, when you finish in 5 minutes, you're quite exhausted. Yeah, it's just quite hard, but and then you have like 5 minutes rest, so it's kind of like an interval, and if you can like kind of recreate it with running, and you can like do like running intervals when you like tire your body out for a time, and then you take like rest, you do like slower running, and then like this you can like just train to let your body like recover like during the 5 minutes, I guess it's something like this. I mean, I didn't do any studies for it, but I trust my coach. So also, I do fitness. I know not everybody is like a big fan of fitness in the climbing world because some are scared to take too much muscles.
mean, I did take some muscles, but I think the power you gain from the fitness is better than the weight gain you have. Mm-hmm. I mean, at least I hope so. Like my coach say it's like this, or I put a lot of trust in her. So yeah, I do fitness. It's about, depends on the time of the year, but in winter training, it's about three times a week. Then you go to two times a week.
Is that like, that's like strength training, weightlifting, stuff like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, especially weightlifting. Yeah, mainly focus on weightlifting. Yeah, I mean, when I say strength training, I should have more specified to like actually weightlifting. Yeah.
I don't know if you necessarily know, but is it true that I guess a lot of like the Japanese climbers like only do climbing and they're like the ones who don't do any strength training or like weightlifting?
Yeah, that could be. And I also ask myself the question if fitness training is actually the way to go. But I mean, maybe if the Japanese did weightlifting, they would have been even more stronger. So I guess we will never know that. But yeah. I heard it too, but yeah, I don't know exactly how they are all training. I mean, not for sure. I saw the videos of Tomoa, he said that he doesn't really do the weightlifting except like a bit in warming up, but it's definitely not how most of the people see a weightlift training. But yeah, I've already discussed it with my coach too, and I think at once point we're gonna switch to doing maybe more spray wall sessions instead of weightlifting, just because at one point you will have done enough like weightlifting, and it just it's not really a matter to gain more strength, but more like try to keep the strength at a certain level, so you have to do like less weight training. So but that's in the future. So for the moment, still a lot of weight training, unfortunately, because it's not my most preferred. It's
kind of like it.
Yeah, it's kind of lonely, you know. Like I do it in like a fitness, which is not in the climbing gym. So yeah, it's just like with your headset on and yeah, being a bit alone. So I don't really like the trainings alone, but yeah. So
yeah, is there any one thing you feel like you've done in training that has helped you the most? Like you did it and then after you're like, whoa, that really worked for me.
For me, it's always been hard to say like this helps or that helps, because I can't expect myself to be become better. Like so, but I would say like something very important is when you really look at competition climbing. For bouldering, for me, like, repetitions of coordinations with like a lot helps for sure. Really do them like just this one coordination, like try to do it like five times in a row, and then you come back like the next day, like try to flash it again, really try to put like a lot of repetitions in this one coordination. Because like in my opinion, they're not endless of variations in coordinations, you know, like all coordinations kind of goes into the same movement as a coordination you've already done. So I mean, they're still inventing, I don't know how, but every time there's a new coordination, but yeah, still you will always get, especially like in qualification or in semifinal, you will kind of get like the same coordinations you've already done. So if you just repeat a lot of the coordinations you do at training, eventually you will kind of get the same kind of coordination, so comes. So that's very useful. For lead, I would say like one of the things I've done a lot before the Olympic qualifiers, which like I felt like my level went like up like a lot in lead. It's like just on a spray wall, you do like 1 minute on, 1 minute off, and you like you don't go until like the full pump, but you try to go like to 8 out of 10 like being pumped. So during like the whole exercise, like this, I have the feeling this like helped me the most, because it's like kind of the exercises I did the most, and yeah, my level went up quite a lot in lead. So I think that's especially for me, it's one of the most important exercise for lead.
That's good to know. I think one thing that a lot of people, it came up a lot, a lot of audience members want to know this. How did you get so good at Slab?
Yeah. I wonder, like, because this thing with Slabs, like, it's true that I've done, like, some Slabs that are pretty hard, that I got some, like, only a sense, like, on competitions of Slabs. Also, like,
yeah,
last Rockmasters again, like, I took the Slab.
Yeah, that one was crazy.
You know, I've no idea, honestly, and it seems like it's like, and the feeling is not always true that I'm so good at Slabs. Like, when you see which boulders I do on Slabs, like, actually, it's not that much. Like, there have been a lot of Slabs on comms that a lot of people did and I didn't do. But then when there's like a very, very hard Slab, like, for me, sometimes it just works out. And I don't know how. I mean, it's true. I worked a lot on Slabs because when I was younger, I think Slab was kind of my weaker point. Also with this elbow injury, I couldn't always climb with two hands. So I did, like, at one point I did a lot of Slabs. So yeah, I mean, if you want to get good at Slabs, yeah, there are not a lot of things you can do. You just, like, do a lot of Slab climbing. But
Don't really consider yourself like a super good Slab climber. Like, when you think about your own climbing, you're not like, oh, I'm the Slab person.
Yeah, no, not really. Okay. It also, like,
interesting.
It gave me, like, a lot of pressure to hear, like, this thing. Because at one moment, like, I did some Slabs and I did some hard Slabs. And then I actually started to believe that I was good in Slabs. And I started to feel more confident in Slabs. So this can help.
Okay.
Until, like, I also started to expect myself to every time top the Slab. So I was like,
exactly,
okay.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, now there's a Slab, like, yeah, now you have to do it because you're supposed to be the best in Slabs. And then it gives, like, kind of the pressure, you know, not only on comms, but also on trainings. Like, you do trainings with other people, like, from other teams or whatever. And every time you go to the Slab, like, you know, there are always some guys who are like, yeah, the Slab master. And they always say something, always, like, the small thing. And then it immediately gives, like, the stress, like, okay, fuck, now I have to do good, you know? And yeah, it's not always been very easy when people say it, but yeah, it's kind of funny because I came from a style that I was not really good in Slabs, and now people say that I'm one of the best in Slabs. And yeah, it's not completely not true, but it's also not completely true. Like, yeah, it depends from Slab to Slab. Like, I believe there are a lot of styles and Slabs too, so.
Yeah, I wonder where it came from then. I guess because I think probably, like, Matt said it one time during live stream, and then he says it every time. And then, yeah, every time you show up, if you don't do it, he's like, oh my God, he didn't do it.
Exactly, yeah. I guess it probably came from, I mean, my first final I made was in Hagioji, and I was the only one to top the Slab, which was, like, a super physical Slab. Like, there was nothing on the feet. Like, it was all, like, shouldery things and small. Yeah, it was just, like, shouldery things and just, like, switch foot or put foot on a volume. Like, I don't know. But I remember it was just pure physical and almost everything in your arms. And, yeah, that the same comp, I also did the Slab in the final. And then also the next comp, I did pretty good and another hard Slab. So I guess, like, it's this, and then indeed, like, Matt Groom started to saying it, and then yeah, he never got it out of his head, so he just he just kept saying it for, and I guess he will keep saying it, and every time I don't do the Slab, I will disappoint Matt, and
yeah,
and so yeah, that's just how it is right now.
Yeah, sorry that you have to carry that weight.
Yeah.
I think one of the audience questions was, what are your top tips for comp style Slab and specifically foot swaps? So do you have anything for that?
Well, what I did find out is, like, when you do foot swaps, especially without hands, it's like I can always try to put my body out of the wall a bit. And from the moment I want to do the foot swap, like, I go back into the wall. It's like only like a centimeter or like a millimeter, but it kind of helped me a lot to do like some foot swaps. So I have the feeling this is actually pretty helpful. Like, you should try
if you do a foot swap, like just go this like tiny bit out of the wall. And once you want to do to make the foot swap, you just like go back and then you kind of stop the momentum when you're again the closest to the wall. You like kind of fall into the wall again. It's just like a small centimeter or less, but it kind of helped me like quite a lot. Also like playing with like the how you switch your foot, because you can switch your foot like this, or you can like turn your feet and switch it like this. Like it's like both works, but it's a different situation, and like it depends on which situation you are, which one works. So
no, I think that'll be helpful. We have like a no hand slab set up right now, so maybe I'll try out the out and in method. I think I
it's always
that.
For me it's always a nightmare, those no hand slabs. Because it's always like so scary. I don't know, especially with volumes, it's so bad.
I
don't like it. Yeah.
I also have a weird thing where I feel bad doing no hand slab because I feel like I'm wasting my rubber on it. Like I'm worried that every single time I turn my foot, I'm like, there goes rubber. There goes my shoe.
Yeah, it's true. Like, the rubber, it just changes every time you slip off or whatever. Like, especially when you use shoes that are fast, like flat, like, it's when you do volume slabs, it can go fast, the shoe.
Yeah, I guess going into the mindset a bit, you already talked a little bit about how if you don't send a slab now, it kind of gets in your head.
Not necessarily when it's a slab, but just in general, it depends from which situation you are in. I mean, there are so many situations that can happen. Like, you can like have the people in front of you that do the boulder. You can have the people after you that do the boulder. You can have nobody that do the boulder. You can have like your rival that do the boulder or whatever. There's so many, not necessarily which kind of boulder it is. It's just like, it's more like the situation you're in, like that can change a lot. Yeah.
Wait, real quick, who's your rival?
I don't know. Like, I guess everybody. I want to beat everybody. Okay. I mean, in the end, I want to win the competition. So I was just talking in general. But yeah.
Okay.
For me, it's more like, I just want to win. So I have to beat everybody anyway.
Okay. So of those situations you just mentioned, like people before you or after you topped or nobody topped, which of those do you feel like, I guess, hurts your mindset the most, and which one kind of fires you up more?
For me, what fires you the most for sure is when the people in front of you don't do the boulder. That's what really gives you like, okay, like now you can like make the show, you know, like the boulder, it has not been topped. So, now you can really do something great. The worst is probably when the people behind you do the boulder, because you know you can't change it anymore and you know that it has been topped. So, you know, you're like kind of disadvantaged to already the person that's behind you, and you know, you don't know who else, but possibly somebody else too. When somebody in front of you tops, it's more like, okay, like, you kind of have to do the boulder, or the boulder is just really hard and he just didn't. But anyway, you know that he did it, so it is a possible boulder. And if you want to have the best chance to pass to the next round, you kind of have to do the boulder too. But I mean, the best is to not like get it into your head. But anyway, you kind of see it anyway. Like, it's either you just close your eyes for the next 5 minutes, or you even just hearing the crowd, like the crowd is pretty loud, so even if you have like some special thing with noise cancelling, you will hear it anyway. So
right.
So it's hard to not get anything into your head, but maybe sometimes it's better to try to like just let it into your head than just like knowing how to react on these situations, then always try to avoid it, and then like having to like calm yourself again down or something, because I think it's what, like I said, it's impossible to not see it, so it's better to train how to react on these situations than to not trying to not see it.
I guess, how do you train yourself to not react?
Well, that's the hard thing. Like, it's hard to train that, but I think one of the good strategies is, I mean, one of the good training methods for sure is like visualization. Like you try to is, I feel like visualization is hard because it's not like 100 meter sprint where you just like have to sprint and you're just going to visualize that you're ready for the sprint and you do the sprint and you win the sprint. Because
okay,
when you visualize, you try to do it as realistic as possible. Only when you do a boulder comp and lead comp also, you're not going to know the routes or boulders 2 weeks in advance. So having a perfect visualization of your comp is already impossible. So you kind of have to, visualize the situation, and it's not always easy. But I still feel like this helps a lot. Also, I think the best thing is on simulations, just like training with good people who are possibly like gonna top the boulder before you or after you, and putting yourself in these situations. And every time when you're in this situation, you really have to acknowledge that you're in this situation, and then try to find the best method to handle it.
Yeah, I don't exactly know that much about visualization. I thought that was more about when you see the boulder, like trying to see that, like, you on it and then you doing it. But you're saying, like, even way before the comp, you're just like imagining yourself winning the comp?
Yeah, that's a different kind of visualization. That's really like trying to prepare your body or your mind, more like your mind, for the competition that's coming. Like if you visualize, like, for example, like me, when I was at the Olympics, it was hard to concentrate. Like I was like blown away. Like I can say it, like I was like blown away of the comp. Yeah, that's like a huge event, and like there was no way I could have like known it was this big. So if you like just go back like I don't know, like months before, and you start like visualize like in your head, like every like multiple times a week, you like visualize everything, like the crowd, the impression you're gonna get, like the fact that you're gonna get blown away, but like every, like you try to visualize all that, like you kind of prepare yourself that it doesn't feel like this first time anymore. Like it feels like you've already done it, and yeah, then you kind of know how to handle it. It's, I mean, I'm still it's hard, and so I can't do it like super good, but I'm pretty convinced that this method is like very good to prepare for big competitions, like just to not have this feeling of being the first time at this big event, like
like overwhelmed, I guess.
Yeah exactly, yeah, this is the word, like not being overwhelmed, because it will feel like you've already done it. I mean, you try to get the feeling that you've already done it.
Yeah. Okay. That's interesting. I haven't heard that one before, but I can see how that would help.
Yeah. It's very hard, because visualizing, it's hard to keep the concentration while visualizing. It's also hard to really know what to visualize, especially in bouldering or lead climbing, because you don't know what you're going to get as boulder. But I think it can help, especially when you know what's kind of your mistakes you're making, when you know what kind of thoughts you're getting when somebody before you top a boulder. So I think it can help for sure.
One more thing about mindset, correct me if I'm wrong, but in my mind, when I think of all the male competitors, I feel like you seem like one of the more angry competitors.
Oh really?
Yeah. Do you feel like that's the case?
I don't know. I don't feel angry at competitions. Maybe I look angry. I know my dad is a teacher, and I went to the same school as my dad on high school. And I know everybody was always saying like, yeah, why? Like, they were not saying it to me, but I heard it from my mom. But they were like, yeah, your dad is always like angry. Like, why? And then like my dad is like, yeah, but no, but I'm not angry. It's just like, my face is just angry. So maybe my face is just angry. But I don't know. But I know that I'm always in this serious mindset. I'm not like the one who's always like going to smile, because it doesn't really help me for. Yeah, I think it's kind of, some people, like when they do a comp, they have to smile to do good. Or me, I think I'm just like a bit more serious when I do the comm, so I'm not always gonna look very happy. But yeah, I'm definitely not angry all the time.
Okay, so, that's good to know.
I mean, it depends. There for sure there were situations where I'm angry, but yeah, I don't think I get upset like very fast at competition. So.
Yeah, I'll maybe have to look through and think about what times I remembered you being angry.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, that's really scary. I guess, well, I don't think you looked specifically angry in this example, but there was that one time where you did a backflip after you couldn't the climb.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. It's funny because I was just doing like a random session in Paris, and there were like three different guys who came to me like, yeah, you're the guy from the backflip. I was like, what? I guess it's something that kind of stand out. I mean, also, who does a backflip at comps? It's kind of special to do it. And I don't really know why I did it. I guess I remember I came pretty close to sticking this pinch boulder.
Yeah.
And I don't know, at one point I come down and I think I was like just like full of like adrenaline that I like kind of didn't control myself. And I like just jumped up and did like a backflip just out of like, yeah, just because I had like full of adrenaline and I had to do something and I knew my time was up and I was like, yeah, I wish I just had topped the bowler. So.
Yeah, I know. No, I mean, I wish you had done it, but yeah, when you came off and did that, I was just like, oh, it was like the backflip of anger.
I was definitely, it was more like out of like, just like being full of adrenaline, being like, why did I like, how did it happen? I let go, you know, it's like, you know, when you see Adam Ondra, when he tops a ball or he's like jumping around everywhere, you know, it's like, kind of like this, like you just like full of this adrenaline and you don't know what to do with your body anymore, so you just, things happen like randomly. So
yeah, that makes sense. Before we go into more audience questions, in terms of non-climbing or anything that you do outside of climbing and competing, especially because you're still healing from your injury for like the next 6 weeks, what do you like to spend your time doing? What are you going to do in the next 6 weeks?
Hard question. I mean, the operation was quite recently. It was like Wednesday.
Yeah.
Some days have passed. I went on holiday with my parents because they happened to go on holiday just now. So I joined them. What I'm gonna do? It's a hard question. I mean, I live with six other people. I live with five other people. They're all climbers, but yeah, I mean, for sure there are always people here, so I will never like be lonely. Like every time I'm eating, like somebody is there. The climbing gym is not that far away, so I can always go there. I know quite some people there. I mean, I still do have to train. Like I cannot just like relax and chill for the next 6 weeks. I have to go to another town where my physio is, so I have to go like 3 or 4 times a week to the physio. I will start like exercises without the elbow. That's for like training part. When I won't be training, I don't know, I'm kind of a lot into sports, so I always try to find like more active solutions. So I already went because my little brother is like he liked to do tennis, so I hope I can I hope I will be able to do some tennis with him, just like with one hand, like single hand backhand. But yeah, he's pretty good, so he kind of teaches me last time, he teaches me a bit how to do the tennis. I don't know. I have a PlayStation 5 here, so I guess I will just be gaming. Like nothing really special. Like it's hard. I've tried to think about a lot of things, but a lot of things you just need two arms
arms
for it. So I mean, I'm currently working on my driving license, and I kind of can move my arms. So I mean, in Belgium the wheel is on the left side. I don't know, in America, on the right or the left side?
It's on the left side, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so anyway, then it's the same, but yeah, so I can do the, how do you say, the changing of numbers?
The gear. Like the gear shift?
Yeah, the gear shifting. Exactly.
Oh, you don't have automatic.
No, I mean, to pass the exam, it's better to do it on manual because then I can do both. Yeah, so,
yeah. Okay, yeah.
Anyway, I can drive. A bit. So actually, yesterday we tried, but I got in the argument with my dad, and so I couldn't drive from my dad anymore. So he was pushing too much. So
oh, I get that. Teaching a kid how to drive, I think it's a stressful process.
Yeah, I can imagine. Everyone. So I tried to do that. For the rest, I mean, I will go watch some competitions actually. There are some competitions coming up. Like there is the Tokyo sessions in Amsterdam, which is not super far. And there will be like, I think Sota will be there. Ogata will be there. Mao. So I think I will go watch that. It should be quite fun. There will be the Team Boulder Arena, which is like the duo competition in France. I think I'll go watch that too because I'm friends with like the French team, quite of the French team. And so yeah, just go watch that. Also some people who are live with in Brussels, they will go do the events. So yeah, I guess I just train, just go watch competitions or things like that.
Still a lot of climbing then.
Yeah, I hope so. Like just doing one hand climbing, doing some slabs.
More slab work. Okay, cool. And then I guess your goals for 2026, do you have anything in mind for next season?
I still haven't won a World Cup, so I would really like to. I mean, I'm still young, so there's still a lot of time, but I hope I can win a World Cup this year. Will be like amazing. It's like, yeah, my goal eventually, like I really hope to become Olympic champion one day. So
yeah,
I mean, I have to start with the World Cup. I think that's the biggest goal for next year. Also the European Championships will be in Brussels, so that's pretty big. It's gonna be beginning of the season. I don't know how it will be with the recovery of the elbow. But yeah, I try to do my best there, and it's for sure gonna be a big goal to win there. So yeah, that's the thing. I also hope to still be able to compete in the lead because now I will have done less lead than I normally do. So I guess I'll see how that goes. Also, I have quite some outdoor projects. Like Yannick, he just did the second ascent of Rastaman Vibration in Seus. I've tried with him sometimes, and yeah, I hope I will be able to send that. That will be really amazing. Yeah.
Okay. Best of luck to you there. Hopefully, it'll be a good 2026 for you.
I hope so too.
So then, before we end things, we have a few more audience submitted questions left. We'll get into some of those now. So the first one, would love some insight into the language situation in Team Belgium. You're Flemish, but most of the team is French speaking. Is that ever challenging for you?
Not anymore. I mean, now I'm quite okay with French. In the beginning, it was challenging. When I was very young, I didn't speak English. I didn't speak French. I only spoke Dutch. But there were a lot of French-speaking people, a lot of French-speaking people. Also, the coaches and the adult team. Now, it's my coaches now and the adult team. I mean, often. She's Flemish, but before it was mostly French. So in the beginning, it was quite hard also to communicate with the athletes. Like I had to learn English, so it was not always easy. But luckily in Belgium, I think it's quite easy to learn English since we're not really a country that dub all the movies. We kind of you kind of watch the movies in English, I mean, just in the original language. So, it's, I think in Belgium, it's very, like, almost, especially in Flanders, I mean, as Jula said, like, the Flemish part don't dub, the French part, they put everything in French. But yeah, a lot of Flemish people speak English. So luckily I learned English pretty good. French, I have always got on school too. And once I went to the Belgium team and I started hearing a lot of French, I started trying to speak French. And now it's okay. But yeah, when you do like team meetings in the Belgium team, mostly it's in English. Also, it's kind of a habit to speak with some English, with some I speak French. It depends. Like, for example, when I speak with Nico, like, we kind of, even though I speak like perfectly, that I speak good French, like, even we just have the habit to speak English because he like can, we kind of go back to the time that I didn't speak French and I spoke better English. So with him, I always speak English. But when I speak like with a French team, like, it's always going to be in French now. So yeah, it depends from people. But yeah, right now it's not really a problem.
Yeah. Okay. That's good to know. Being in the US, that's all very, I don't even think about other people having to speak like different languages.
Yeah, I guess it's easy. Yeah.
Next one. Do you think calisthenics or gymnastics training is necessary now in comp climbing?
Well, I've thought about it and I have the feeling like the time you can spend on gymnastics or other things, you can as well just spend on your wall doing coordinations. So I'm not really the biggest fan of doing like the coordination training outside of climbing. So yeah, I would say no, but I mean, climbing is still like not the most developed sports. So I wouldn't be surprised if it actually can help. But for the moment, I've not heard of anybody or I've not seen any exercises that I would say, okay, that can actually like help for coordination. So yeah, like I said, I think the time for the moment, my opinion is more like the time you spend on gymnastics, you can just spend on the climbing wall, the coordinations.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. You don't think any of your gymnastics training before the age of 7 helped with your climbing?
Yeah, I mean, 7 is very young, you know, so
yeah.
I don't even remember what I was doing, but yeah, I've always done gymnastics at school too because I was in a sport. I was doing sports at school and I've done 2 hours of gymnastics. So there I saw automatically like I'm better than the average student in gymnastics just because it's kind of the same muscles. But yeah, when I was 7, I don't even remember what I did. So I thought that it's gonna have made a big difference.
Okay. Last one. Well, there were two, but they are kind of similar. And they're both about slab climbing, of course. People say that slab climbing needs a climber to stay calm, especially during competitions. So how do you stay calm on slab? And then the other one was someone, I think, who also competes in climbing. How do you get better at slabs, specifically in competitions, because it's hard to relax?
Yeah, it's very important to stay calm. I see also myself, slabs that I don't do, like, often it's when you don't stay calm or you're like kind of want to grab things that are not there, especially like when you have like these edges on volumes, like you're always tend to take them, but often sometimes it's not better, like you're just gonna put yourself in bad positions. So yeah, staying calm on the slab is one of the most important, also one of the most the hardest parts. And I think it's like I said, this being aware that you're not calm enough, so you can adapt to the situation. When you're not calm, it's mostly because you don't trust your feet, and then or something like this, or yeah, you feel like you're gonna fall off, and then it's like, then you just have to realize, like, okay, what's the worst thing that can happen when you just fall off? Like, you know, worst thing, you can maybe break your foot, but
Probably not, you know.
That's
so
terrible. Okay.
Yeah, but
okay, that's maybe bad to say when you want to help somebody, but probably you're not gonna break your foot. So if you just try and you just go for the move, then you will feel, yeah, then you will feel that it's, yeah, that it's staying. Because I mean, every boulder is tested, every boulder works. So you're just like trusting everything. Yeah, it's hard to give like better advice than that and feeling.
Just feel it and trust it.
Yeah, like I've also know already, like often when I don't do a slap, it's just like you don't stay calm, you don't trust the feet, like you want to rush too much. But it's just about trying to do the move, and once you try to do a move, maybe you fall off, but then you can like adapt to the move. Well, if you're not trusting it, like you're like two steps behind, like first you have to trust it, then you can start learning the move. So,
and then I guess especially with like the time pressure in competitions on slab, because it's like a slower climb too.
Yeah, it is. For me, it kind of helped to put myself into those situations. Like I get a slab and I just put like, instead of 5 minutes, you put like 1 minute, and then you're just gonna know you're under time pressure. But but at least like, yeah, you know you're gonna be under time pressure, and you're gonna learn how to stay calm. And this it's very easy, but yeah, you're just gonna learn it like this, I think.
I guess, do you remember like that Rockmasters slab top? That was kind of like a buzzer beater, right?
Yeah, that was crazy. Like, I've never
like,
done
that. What were you thinking on that last try?
Like, I was thinking it's over, actually, because I was getting eliminated if I didn't pass the move, because I don't know why, but I just slipped two times in the beginning. And then I just watched, I think Yannick did the move. And so I just watched him, and I was like, okay, for sure it's going to feel bad. But I mean, if I don't commit to it, it's finished, it's over, like I'm going out. So I just try to stay calm. I just try to feel, and yeah, put my feet through, and I put it on a hold. And as I expected, it didn't feel good, but I knew like, okay, you can't stand on the feet. So I just slowly, it's all about like finding the right balance between like going slow and moving your weight to the other foot, but not too fast, and just keep feeling and feeling. And at one moment, like you feel when you can go on the other foot, and it's kind of just, it was just about this, just like feeling when it's the time to just put it all on this one feet. And yeah, it's just like I thought about it, how it was going to feel, and it felt like that. And yeah, then it worked out. So yeah, it's it was crazy, the slap.
It worked out. It was cool to see. So I think, yeah, that's all the questions I had today then. Thanks for joining me. Any like last minute words of wisdom you want to get out there?
It's funny. I have the feeling, already now I have the feeling people expect to give some wisdom words about slab climb, but I really don't have anything more like.
No, I mean, I think your slab tips were good.
When you really want to improve slab climbing, you should just go to France. Probably it's the best place to train slab climbing. So
okay, no, that totally works. That's good. And where can people find you if they want to reach out?
Yeah, probably on Instagram. I mean, I'm not always responding because I always forget to look at the
request.
Because Instagram put an update and you don't see the numbers of how many requests we have anymore. So now you have to really think about it. But yeah, I mean, if they have a question, they can just reach me on Instagram and I try to respond.
Okay, cool. Well, awesome. Thank you again. And it was amazing to talk to you.
Yeah, no worries. It was fun to do.
Thank you so much for making it to the end of the podcast. Don't forget to like and subscribe if you enjoyed. Otherwise, you are a super fake climber. If you're listening on a podcasting platform, I'd appreciate if you rate it 5 stars, and you can continue the discussion on the free competition climbing Discord linked in the description. Thanks again for listening.